today as we come to the table.
God in His Word, in this love story, being the longest chapter of the Bible, not only showing us a beautiful story of romance, a match made in heaven literally by God, but God is showing us a beautiful story of spiritual romance in the fact that we are the bride of Christ, and God has sent His servant to get a bride for His Son, Jesus Christ, and He sent His Son, His servant, to get you. And many of you have done that, but there's some of you maybe that are hearing the Spirit of God for the first time saying, what is this voice telling me I need to give my life to the Lord, that I need to repent of my sin? It's the work of Eleazar in your life. You see, Eleazar in Scripture means the helper.
That as Christians, we are called the bride of Christ? That's right. In today's message, Pastor Mark talks about how Jesus loves us so much that He came to earth to take us as His bride. He died on the cross and rose again 3 days later so that we could be with Him forever in heaven. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Just like a bride prepares herself for her wedding day, you too should be preparing yourself for the day when we will be with our Savior. You should be living our lives in a way that honors Him and brings glory to His name. As the bride of Christ, you have a beautiful and eternal love story with our Savior. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Saw God's hand. She realized by the prayer and by all that was going on that God's hand was in this. And we're going to see that this shows that Rebecca was also a woman of faith. Because although she didn't have all the details, she trusted in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that if some man comes up to you young ladies and says, hey, God's told me we're supposed to get married, that means you are. He may be a man of faith, but you may not be at that particular situation. But the point is that you know what? All of us face situations in our life, don't we? Where God is going to call us to take a step of faith in something we don't understand, but we know God's hand is in it. And when we know God's hand is in it, we need to step forward and take a step of faith and say, God, I don't understand this. This is territory I've never been in before, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting you, and here I go. And that was the type of woman that Rebecca was. And again, showing more character and more quality that Eleazar would be looking for and that Isaac would be looking for in a godly bride. So, but notice he says, send me away, I'm ready to get going. But her brother and her mother said, you know, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she may go. Now, I don't know why necessarily 10, but the point is they're buying time. I mean, you have to realize this was a big decision for the family. One day you're just having normal life. The next day you realize you're sending your daughter off to the mission field and maybe never see her again. And yet if God makes it clear that it's the Lord, we're not to stand in the way, are we, parents? We're to say, the Lord's will be done. But I can also see the heart that would say, let her stay a little while. What if we never see her again? And you know, this was a long way away, 400 or 500 miles away. Abraham had moved and they'd never seen Abraham again. Probably they would never see Rebecca again. And so they're going, let us at least spend some time with Rebecca. You know, we don't want to just lose her that quickly. Let this mull over in our mind. But I love what he answered again, and he did the right thing. Verse 56, he said to them, do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. In other words, I know you want to be with your daughter, but this is God. And now that we know that it's God's will and we all agree, it's time to get on with it. What a lesson there is in that for us. You see, when we know that it's God's will for our life, whatever it might be, marriage or anything else, the bottom line is once we recognize it's the Lord, we don't need to delay. We need to get moving and saying, God, now's the time. You've opened the doors, Lord. You've given the call, and now it's time to move forward. And that's exactly what he's doing here. You know, and again, remember this. Whenever God tells you it's time to move, there are always going to be those voices who will be telling you to wait. And now God has told them it's time to move, and they're saying, you know, just a little bit longer. Wait just a little bit longer. You know, some of you, the Holy Spirit may be working in your heart saying, you know what? Right now is the time that you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You hear me speaking to you. You hear what the pastor's saying. You need to make a commitment. You know that I want a bride for my son. I'm drawing you right now to myself. And yet the voices in your head are saying, you know, why don't you just wait a little while? Kind of mull this over and think about it. Nonsense. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you know that God's Spirit is speaking to you, you need to act today. And why is that? Because over time, our mind can be changed by those voices that we hear. And so when we know it's God and we know it's right, we need to move forward at that moment. So notice they said, well, we'll call the young woman and ask her personally. You know, maybe she'll not be quite ready to go so quickly. I think they're trying to buy time, but we're going to see the character and quality of Rebecca in trusting in God and seeing the hand of God in this. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And I'm sure there was a hush in the room as all eyes were on Rebecca. And she said, I will go. Yes. Music to Eliezer's ears. Now all the obstacles are gone. It's time to get moving. And we see again the heart of Rebecca here, clearly seeing God's will and again showing her character to submit to the will of God, even though she doesn't know what lies ahead. You know what? We may not know what lies ahead, but here's what we do know. What we do know is this: God knows what lies ahead. And because God knows what lies ahead, if we know it's the Lord, we can rest. And there's excitement in that. Notice it says, so they went away. Rather sent Rebecca away, their sister and her nurse, and that was typical to send the nurse with them to help to take care of of Rebecca as well as the family needs, and Abraham's servant and his men. So they all go away, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, and notice this, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s. Again, lots of kids and lots of descendants. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. This indeed came true, as indeed her descendants, as she had Jacob, became the descendants of Israel and the nation of Israel. And so the very blessing they're pronouncing indeed comes to pass. And notice then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now what an adventurous journey. It doesn't tell us anything now until they get there. We're going to jump from verse 61 right into verse 62 and kind of see them there. But think about this. This was weeks long, this journey with these camels. And as they were traveling during this whole time, you know, you can imagine Rebecca, you know, wanting to get all the details, spending time with Eliezer, you know, making sure her camel was up next to his, saying, tell me about him. What's he like? What does he look like? What does he do? How old is he? What are his interests? Well, tell me more about any brothers and sisters and let me know. And of course, as any good woman, she wants all the details, right? And there's no doubt Eliezer was willing to give all those details and to pour them out. They had weeks to talk about it, probably excitedly saying, oh, you'll love him. He's a man of God. He's this, he's that. And her mind's just filling with all these romantic images of what awaits for her. And the exciting thing is, because God's hand was in it, those romantic images really were waiting for her. In the same way, Isaac was doing the same thing. You see, while Rebecca's thinking about him, Isaac's thinking about Rebecca. And while Rebecca's asking questions and talking to Eliezer, Isaac is talking to the Lord. Look at verse 62. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Laharoi, where he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went to meditate, or we would say to pray, in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Now, it's interesting here. Note this. Beer Laharoi means the well of the living one who sees me. And how appropriate that he's coming and praying in this area where this, you know, the well of the living one who hears and sees me, because no doubt he was saying, Lord, is there going to be a bride? Is Eliezer going to be successful? What will she be like? Lord, let me know. I mean, how long will it be until they get back? And no doubt all these prayers are going up before the Lord and filling his thoughts, even as Rebecca's were. And suddenly he looks up and sees the camels coming. His heart must have jumped out of his chest. But now we've talked a lot about the character of Rebecca. Notice the character of Isaac. You see, God brought this woman to him, but God first made him a man of God. He was out in the field praying, seeking the Lord, crying out to God. And again, this would not only be the type of woman that Isaac would want, but it was the type of man that Rebecca would want and that Rebecca would deserve. And so now we see some of the qualities and the character that Isaac had as well. And understand if you say, but I'm nowhere near that. Listen, God molds us and shapes us and takes us to that. God can take a young woman or an older woman and make her godly no matter when she starts. God can take a younger man or an older man, make him godly no matter when he starts. The key is starting with the Lord and saying, God, mold me, shape me, make me what you want me to be. And so again, now we see him excited as he sees this bride coming. And one of the other qualities I want to point out here about Isaac is Isaac was willing to wait until God brought him the one that God had for him. Note this, at this point, Isaac was 40 years old or so. And when you think about Isaac being that, come on, Isaac, you know, what's going on? I see people that panic. I'm 25 and not married. Listen, there's nothing wrong in getting married young. As a matter of fact, I think that's a great thing if you pray and God brings you the one that you're to have. Because it just, you can start your life all the sooner with the one God has for you. But let's not be in such a rush that we say, I've got to get married, and we grab the first thing that comes along. And part of the character we see in Isaac, he was willing to wait. He realized this was a lifelong decision, and he realized also that he wanted God to make that decision. And he waited until God brought him his bride. Note that. It reminds me of Adam in the garden. Remember, God brought Adam his bride. And I believe this, that if we will wait on the Lord and pray, rather than us going out looking for a bride or a husband, God will bring them to us. As we live our life, as we do the things and do the work of the Lord, God will make sure that the one that he has ordained to be with us will be with us and will be with us at the right time. And it saves a lot of heartache and a lot of wrong decisions. And so now we see this whole scene here where he sees her coming and no doubt his heart leaping out of his chest. Verse 64, then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. And no doubt all these thoughts now trying to configure to the face that she's seeing. For she had said to her servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. And so she took a veil and she covered herself. Now again, this speaks a lot about Rebekah, because it was a sign of honor and respect in this culture to dismount from your animal when you were approaching someone of great importance. But her getting down off that camel that quickly was saying visually to Isaac, you are someone of great importance in my eyes, and I'm going to show you honor, and I'm going to show you respect. And that's exactly what every man wants in a wife. That's exactly what the Bible says a godly wife will do and will be, as well as a husband. But in this instance here, showing the wife. And then it said, verse 66, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. No doubt it was spewing out as fast as I talk, probably. You're not going to believe what happened. And probably with the energy and the excitement. And then Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I love this, because notice lastly what the Lord does in an ordained union by God. When we wait on him, it will always bring love and comfort to our heart. And no doubt it did this for both Rebekah and for Isaac here. It doesn't mean that our marriage will be without problems. It just simply means that if we do it the way God says, it'll be blessed, and there'll be love, and there'll be comfort. But you say, but Pastor Mark, I didn't do it this way. My marriage started out a mess, and it still is. What about me? I'm not the picturesque little, you know, Rebekah bounding up and down with the water. I was like, you know, get your own sandwich. I'm not the husband. I'm, you know, make me a sandwich. Poof, you're a sandwich. Now leave me alone, you know, type thing, right? Or the husband, this Mr. Romantic, you know, and is waiting in the field praying for his wife. I'm not that kind of man. What about me, Pastor Mark? Here's the good news. Listen, God takes us right where we are, and he's the one that molds us and shapes us into a godly man or a godly wife. None of us start out that way. It's God. It's the work of God's hand. And here's the hope. You say, but yeah, but my marriage is too far down the road, and we already, things are this way. How can it be better? Listen, if God can take a believer and make them born again in him, he can take a marriage and give it rebirth and resurrection as well. But it's a matter of taking it to the Lord and saying, all right, what do I do? Listen, we simply obey the word of God. Man has made things so complicated. God has made it so simple. He's given man one main command in marriage. He's given woman one main command in marriage. What are they? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and died to himself for her sake. If we as husbands will die to ourselves and what we want and put our wife first, God will begin to bless our relationship with our bride. And then what does he say to wives? One command. Simply honor, respect, and submit. I mean, it's all part of that. Submit to your husband. Respect him. Just let him lead the home and give him that honor and that respect. You know, just show him that. And he says, God will touch the man's heart when he sees that. And God says, if you'll just do that one thing, and husbands, you'll just do that one thing, I will pour out my blessing. I will bless this marriage, and I will make it rich, and I will make it full. But as we finish today, and I know this has been a long chapter, you've done so good. And I'm going to try to scream through these last things, but I've got to point these things out to you before we leave, and that is this. There's another aspect to this that we've talked briefly about, but I want to point it out to you, and that God in his word, in this love story, being the longest chapter of the Bible, not only showing us a beautiful story of romance, a match made in heaven literally by God, but God is showing us a beautiful story of spiritual romance in the fact that we are the bride of Christ, and God has sent his servant to get a bride for his son, Jesus Christ, and he sent his son his servant to get you. And many of you have done that, but there's some of you maybe that are hearing the Spirit of God for the first time saying, what is this voice telling me I need to give my life to the Lord, that I need to repent of my sin? It's the work of Eleazar in your life. You see, Eleazar in Scripture means the helper, or God is my help. And it's interesting to me that he's the unnamed servant. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will not draw attention to himself, but he will point the eyes to Jesus Christ. And now we see the helper, God is my help, if you will, in Eleazar as a type of the Holy Spirit. Abraham, a type of the Father. Isaac, a type of the Son. Eleazar, a type of the Holy Spirit being sent by the Father to get a bride for his daughter. And notice a couple of verses very quickly. Well, let me read John 15:26. But when the helper comes, that is our spiritual Eleazar, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Even as he went and testified of Isaac, right now the Holy Spirit is testifying of Jesus Christ by his word and by his Spirit in your heart. And notice verse 4. I've got to hit a couple of verses real quick. Notice this, verse 4, but you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac. Again, the picture of the father sending his servant to go and get a son, get a bride for his son, even as God has sent the Holy Spirit to draw us to Jesus Christ. Notice verse 8, and if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you'll be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Again, just like Eleazar, the Holy Spirit will not force anyone to follow. Right now, he's speaking to your heart, but he's not going to make you come back. He's not going to make you be the bride of Christ. That's your choice. But it would be foolish to deny such a glorious choice. The riches, the wealth, the romance, the eternity, the reward, the forgiveness of sin. How can we turn it down? And yet many foolishly do. Notice verse 11. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Again, notice Eleazar waited by the water to find his bride. The Bible says God's word is like water that washes us and renews us. And this morning, as you've been hearing the word of God, God has been meeting you by the well, speaking to you. You need to be the bride of Christ. Again, verse 25. It says, moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Again, the Bible says the Lord will, the next thing the Holy Spirit does is he'll wait till we invite him in. Again, he doesn't force himself, but we have to say a prayer and say, Lord, I receive you as my Lord. Forgive me of my sins and be my God. We have to be invited in, or rather, he has to be invited in before he'll come in, even as the Holy Spirit, even as the Lord himself. Again, verse 36. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. What does the Bible say? The Father has given all things into the hand of the Son. And now they've been given unto us as he is our spiritual husband, so to speak. Again, verses 37 and 38, notice it says, now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of the Canaanites who from where I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and my family and take a wife from my son. Again, the only way that we can be the bride of Christ is to come out of the world, to not be a part of the Canaanites, and to give our life to him so that we're born again and that we're saved, and now we become his bride and eligible to be his bride. Again, verse 33, notice, then the servant brought out jewelry and silver, jewelry of gold and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Again, notice this, just like Eleazar gave gifts to the bride of Isaac, the Bible says when we give our life to Jesus Christ, he gives us gifts, spiritual gifts, as a bride price for us. And not only giving us those gifts as a blessing, the spiritual, you know, bracelets and necklaces, but also as a bride price, his blood. He paid for us on the cross in his blood, and now he has purchased us, and he is worthy to buy us as his bride. Verse 55 and 56, notice, but her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, and then she may go. And he said, do not hinder me, but let me go. The bottom line is you may be hearing voices as the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to come to Jesus and to make that commitment. You may be hearing voices that say, no, don't do this, just a little bit more time. I'll do it later on, maybe when I get older, or maybe when I feel this or feel that. No, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And the problem with putting it off is that oftentimes those voices end up taking over and we never give our life to the Lord. And the last thing I want to point out, verse 61, then Rebekah and her maids arose and they rode on the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and departed. No doubt as they traveled across the wilderness, she was asking so many questions and Eleazar was teaching her about the Son. What does the Bible say the job of the Holy Spirit is? To teach us about the Son. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Guys, here's where we are today. And I apologize we went longer, but this was a big chapter and I was filled up. The Holy Spirit is calling you today to be the bride of Christ. What a great privilege. Who am I to be worthy to be the bride of a king? A spiritual bride. Now again, transfer. Get away from the earthly and think heavenly. When we talk about, you know, spiritual bride, we think for a man, that's another thing. No, think spiritual. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we know that we've been called the bride of Christ as his church. Who are we to be called not only by a king? You know, can you imagine, ladies in this room, if some prince or some coming king, you know, that was going to be crowned the king or whatever calls you up and says, you know what? It's you that I want. Oh, well, let me think about it. You'd be like, well, I'll be there. How do I pack? What do I do? I don't care what's going on. I want to be the princess. Because there's something in the heart that's there that's just this level of romance and excitement. How can I be honored to such a degree? And yet, guys, we have a God, a king that has honored us much higher than any earthly king could ever do. He's the king of all the universe, and he said, I want you to be mine. What an honor that is. And yet, what a disgrace to say to such a great king, no thank you. The Holy Spirit may be ministering to some of your hearts, saying, you know what, I hear the Spirit of God. I want to be given over. I want to be the bride, and I'll receive that invitation. I encourage you this morning, allow the Lord to do that. Confess your sin, receive him as Lord, and become the bride of Christ. And I encourage us as believers this morning, let's renew our love to him. What a love story. Let's renew the romance. Let's spend those times again just in the word and in prayer, loving him and giving him worship and giving him praise and saying, not only am I honored to be your bride, I'm thrilled and I'm excited and I can't believe you've called me to be your own. Who am I? There are certainly candidates that are much more eligible, but you've chosen me, and now I give you the honor and the glory and the respect that is due. Let's pray and ask the Lord to do that in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you are our spiritual husband, Lord, the one that has paid the bride price in your blood on the cross. Lord, you paid for us. And there may be some here this morning that are hearing for the first time the voice of Eleazar saying, come back to the land of my master and be wedded to his son. And Lord, your spirit is saying, come back to the land right now, receive the Lord as your savior and become his own, that you might live with him forever and take this great honor upon yourself, but rejoice in the kingdom forever. And Lord, I just pray that if there's any like that, they would right now confess their sin, repent of their sin, and give their life to you and answer this glorious call from this servant from a faraway land, that we might, Lord, one day be yours in the kingdom that is to come. But Lord, I pray for us as believers as well. Lord, renew the love in our hearts. Let the romance for you come alive again. Realizing what you've done. Realizing what a glorious story. What an exciting story it is, Lord. What an exciting thing you've done by paying the bride price on the cross and buying us to your own, Lord. It doesn't get any more spiritually romantic than that. We rededicate our love to you and our hearts. We give all of ourselves to you, Lord, and we hold nothing back. Make us a bride of honor and respect and of love before your throne. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, That's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.